With the first pick of the 2025 MLB draft, the Washington Nationals select Eli Willits, a shortstop from Fort Cobb Broxton High School in Fort Cobb, Oklahoma.
So the Nats made, I guess, somewhat of a surprise pick at number one overall in last night's Major League Baseball draft. 17-year-old Eli Willits, a high school shortstop from Oklahoma, was the pick. Cheaper than some of the other options, like Ethan Holliday and Cade Anderson. Was that the reason they selected Eli Willits? Bobby Blanco from Masson will jump on with us at 11 a.m. to do all of the Nats draft discussion on the show today. The Nats, by the way, lost again to the Brewers, 8-1. That's four losses heading into the All-Star break, eight of their last nine. They sit currently at 38-58 with a negative 102 run differential. They stink. Good morning, everybody. Happy Bastille Day. Yeah, July 14th, I believe it was 1789, the storming of the Bastille. I happen to have been in Paris one year during this particular holiday. It was pretty fun. There was also a big soccer game going on in the Euro that year. I remember that very much. My kids were very young. We are going to talk definitely on the show, not about that, but we are going to talk about this ESPN quarterback rankings list. These are coaches, front office execs, and scouts ranking the quarterbacks in the NFL. And guess what? Our guy was put in his proper spot. That is coming up on the show today. Tonight is the Home Run Derby, so I will definitely pay attention to it. I don't usually, but with James Wood in it, let's see how far he can go. And then tomorrow night, of course, the Nats will have two All-Stars in the game, both Wood and Mackenzie Gore. This from Tan to open up the show. Kevin, you were right about Trey Johnson. The kid can't miss. The Wizards finally have their superstar. Tan, you can't be serious. Seriously. They're playing Summer League basketball against a lot of players, in fact the majority of players that they're playing against and playing with likely won't be in the league ever, let alone just for a season or two. Look, the Wizards are playing a lot of players on their summer league team that are going to be on their NBA roster next year because they're young and all of these players are 18, 19, 20, 21 years old. And yes, Trey Johnson's gotten off to a very good start. He had 21 in their win last night over Brooklyn. He was 7 of 11 from the floor, 2 of 6 from behind the arc. In the game on Friday night, did you see the pass off the defender and then the score? He was 2 for 6 from behind the arc. I think I just mentioned that. 5 for 8 on free throws. That's actually not great for him. He is a very, very good free throw shooter. But he looked good. So did Alex Saar. He had 16-12 in the game and 8 block shots in the summer league game. But guys, Will Riley played well too, their other first-round pick. He was 5 of 6 from the floor, 3 of 4 from behind the arc. I really like Will Riley's potential. He had 16. Kyshawn George, Bub Carrington, and Alex Saar all played. A.J. Johnson played from last year's team. I said this during the season last year, very much from the perspective of not having watched nearly as much Wizards as I typically do. But I thought George was really impressive of all of their young guys. Not saying that I thought George would end up being the star, and he didn't, I guess, shoot it well last night. He was 4 for 16, 1 for 8. That's not the Alex Saar performance. Remember last year from Summer League when he went 0 for 15 in a game? But I like George a lot, and then I am a big fan of Trey Johnson and a big fan of Will Riley. But Tan, this stuff doesn't matter. It's like NFL preseason. It doesn't matter. You cannot get sucked into anything that you're watching now. These are players, the significant majority of whom will not be playing in the league, let alone even be on rosters. I mean, not playing in games, let alone even be on rosters. By the way, the guy that, and I watched a little bit of the game last night. I do have to mention that I got sucked into quarterback this weekend, Max.
I'm glad you finally joined us.
Yeah. Really, really good.
Very good.
God, Netflix does it so well.
They do a good job.
But I did turn on the game a little bit last night because I actually wanted to see the guy, Yegor Damon, the kid from BYU that went high, and I really liked, and I thought maybe the Wizards would have a chance with their second pick. He looked pretty good. He's going to be – it's going to take some time for him. He's like a 6'9" point guard. He's got to get physically stronger. For the NBA level, but I think he's got a lot of future. But Tan, I'm glad you're excited. I do not think this Wizards team upcoming this year will win more than 24 or 25 games. I actually haven't seen an over-under number on it, but I know that Cam Whitmore's addition and, you know, having CJ McCollum and you know, a couple of the other veterans, people are like, wow, we got to be careful. We might make the play-in game. I doubt that will happen. I really doubt that will happen. I also wanted to read this because, and I did this on my podcast on Friday because I got this after the show on Friday, but I wanted to read this because it was fair criticism. It was from a devoted listener, Kevin. I think the part, and it's titled, by the way, "Listeners Upset About Your New Stance on the Name." And a devoted listener writes, "I think the part of what you've been saying the last 2 days, and this is last week, that is primarily responsible for upsetting listeners is the," and he puts in quotations, "stop digging" comment that I just heard you repeat. There are a couple of problems with this statement. First, as always in life, did the virtue signalers who pretended to be offended by the name and lobbied for decades for it to be discarded, did they stop digging? I am about 3 to 4 years older than you are. I remember 3 separate huge attempts by outsiders to make the team name change. The first one was diffused by Jack Kent Cook when he hired a Native American woman to sing the national anthem at the stadium. It's funny, I don't remember that. I do not remember that. Secondly, the absence of the name is a constant reminder that the team was forced to cave to outsiders with an agenda who don't care about the team and put those interests above the interest of fans like us who have supported the team our whole lives. That reminder, which is like a thumb in our eye, needs to go away. So this was the first part of this. I appreciate, and I actually thought, when I use the description, stop digging, like it's gone. You're just digging deeper and deeper, and you're never going to get out of this hole. They're not going back to the old name. And I do recall saying it a couple of times last week and actually feeling like it was a bit too far. Because I agree with you, a devoted listener. I agree with you. I don't want those of you who still believe that Redskins, the old name, isn't dead, I don't want anybody to stop fighting for it. I really don't. Sabah, that goes for you too. She is certainly a battler, no doubt, and she just doesn't feel about the team. And I know so many people that just don't feel it for the team because of the loss of the name. I mean, that's a lot of people. Trust me on that. We've talked many times about that. I don't want you people to stop fighting for it. I feel that, you know, that hurt and then the associated passion to try to get it back. And I know that there's some thought that 2025 is completely different than 2020 in personality, in environment, in tone, in things that are going on, you know, culturally, and that maybe there's a chance. And stop digging, when I said that, you know, literally that means stop digging, the hole's getting deeper and deeper, and you're further away from getting out of it. Well, the truth is on this, the hole can't get any deeper. It's as deep as it's going to get. So dig all you want. I think for me, what I believe to be the truth is that the league is not going to allow Josh Harris and company to go back to a controversy that is detrimental to the league from a business standpoint. You know, they dealt with it for 30-plus years because it was there, and they weren't going to get rid of it. But it's not there now. So to bring it back and to bring that controversy back is really a hard sell. You know, for 30-plus years, it may not have been the number one list of, you know, controversies or annoyances on the list that the league had to deal with, but it was always on the list. Some years less, you know, in terms of the noise, less noisy than others. But I just know that going back to the days of needing to explain that one of their 32 entities has a name that, yes, the dictionary defines in some cases as racist or insensitive, is a complete non-starter for them. Complete. And trust me, I know that the definition may not be accurate. And by the way, it's not defined that way in every single dictionary. You know, I did this several months ago where I found multiple dictionaries that didn't use the word insensitive, didn't use the word racist in the definition of redskin. But there are some that do. All right, so that's the, you know, so-called mic drop, and has been for the other side. Of course, those of us that have, you know, spent a lot of time, and really you don't need to spend too much time, but if you've spent any level of time, you know, thinking about this from both sides, you understand how complex this conversation is, how debatable it is. And for so many years, the other side didn't want to debate. They just took that dictionary definition, dropped the mic, and said the conversation's over. And it just was very limited in reaction. And I think part of it was because they understood that this was more complex. And once they delved into the debate over the name, it got tricky for them. You know, it got tricky for them with the 2004 Annenberg poll. It got tricky for them with the 2016 Post poll. You know, for 12 years, they said, that poll's too old, the 2004 poll. You guys don't know what you're talking about. Things have changed. Really? 2016, here comes the Washington Post dropping an absolute bomb on the anti-namers. 90% said, not an issue, of Native Americans. And, you know, the definition of redskin for years has been debated, going back to the very beginning. What did it really mean? Well, we do know this. For the last 50 to 75 years, 75 really to almost 75 years for sure, the name has meant the football team that plays in Washington, D.C. And redskin is a player who plays for the football team who plays in Washington, D.C. It doesn't, for a half century, three quarters of a century, it has not meant anything having to do with Native Americans in normal conversation. But beyond that, look, I hear you, a devoted listener. Stop digging was condescending on my part. It was also not the way I really feel, because I don't want you to stop. I don't want you to feel that way. I just have a different view now. I have moved on, understanding that, look, nothing's ever a 100% certainty. Things change, as we know. But as of now, there's no chance. And by the way, I don't know that Josh Harris and Mitchell Rales, if the league was open to it, wouldn't go after it. But I don't think they want to bring back that controversy. People used to argue with me all the time. People who couldn't stand the name and wanted it to be dropped would say, would you ever start a business and pick Redskins as the name? Would you ever start an expansion team with the name Redskins? And I said, no, of course I wouldn't. But that's not the debate here. We're not starting an expansion team. This is an 85-year-old brand that has a massive customer following and loyalty and attachment. We're not talking about a new business. I would never start a new business or a new team and put a name out there that was controversial even if it was unjustifiably controversial. But look, many of us would like the league and the team to say, so what to the $26 billion worth of league partners, networks, and, you know, consumer goods companies? We know that CBS, NBC, you know, Netflix, Fox, you know, Amazon, Pepsi, Anheuser-Busch, you know, P&G, the list goes on and on. The $26 billion worth of league, you know, providers and partners, it would be nice if they, you know, had the stones to say, stand down. This is not, this should not be as controversial as you think it is. And oh, by the way, it's good for us and it's good for the team in Washington. But they're not going to do that. They're not going to do that. There are too many people who are conveniently offended, or even worse, in the business of being offended. So they're just not going to deal with that anymore. If the name were still here, it wouldn't be on the way out. But the fact that it did leave us in 2020, I just don't think it's coming back. You know, I just don't. It doesn't matter what Native Americans feel en masse. It doesn't matter what many of us feel. And some of you are going to say, stay the course and keep the controversy alive and keep pushing. And I'm all for it. So my stop digging from last week, I take that back. Keep digging, keep going after it, keep being passionate. I can't spend a lot of my free time or even professional time on it because my belief is it's gone. And it's never coming back. I still think, by the way, it doesn't change my mind, that I think they made a mistake by keeping Commanders. I think the home run that was available to be swung on and hit out of the park was Washington football team, old uniforms, which we saw last week, logo back, Washington's the brand, we call them Skins, call it a day. But they decided to keep Commanders. And, you know, they've got a lot more information than I do. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we've got to get to this list of quarterbacks, execs, front office execs, scouts, coaches. This is the annual ESPN list, position by position group, ranking the top 10, then the honorable mentions, and then the others receiving votes. Guess where Jaden landed on this list? I'll tell you next. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com. All right, two things. On Friday, we talked about and took calls on who we thought had the most to prove in the upcoming season for Washington. I thought Marshawn Lattimore was number one on the list. I had Debo number two. Max had Daron Payne as number one. And Brian Robinson Jr., I believe, was your number two, correct?
Correct.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah, and we took a lot of calls, and there were a lot of really good answers. A lot of people said Joe Witt Jr., because we included coaches. There were a lot of, you know, Bobby Wagner was, I think, the one from our who did I get into an argument with? I'm forgetting now.
Mark... from Largo was last week because he kept talking. And then you and Pauly also got into it on Friday.
I was just going to say, I'm pretty sure it was Pauly that I got into an argument with and not somebody else. It was Pauly, right?
Pauly was Friday.
Yeah, Pauly and I were yelling at each other. See, yes. That was all the way on Friday. I can barely remember what happened yesterday. That he had Bobby Wagner, and I said, look, this isn't does the player have something to prove? It's who has on the roster the most to prove. And we got into a battle. I love Paulie. He's one of my favorites. And he's always, by the way, very interesting in his thought process and smart. Very smart. I just disagreed. And then he started to yell at me, and then I yelled back. But we forgot one. We forgot an obvious one. Everybody did, except for my good friend Ben Standig, who was on after he'd gotten to Vegas on Friday because he was out there for the NBA Summer League all weekend. He came on the podcast and we debated this, and he mentioned Matt Gay, the kicker. He's got a lot to prove. He has not had, you know, he struggled last year. That's why he was available. Look, they need a kicker to prove something. They're going to need a kicker this year. They needed one last year. But Matt Gay, you know, from Indianapolis after, you know, starting his career, he was with the Rams for the Super Bowl, right? That he won, he was the kicker for the Rams in the Super Bowl. But last year, he missed like almost everything from 50 or out. And Indy didn't bring him back. Washington signed him to kind of a prove-it deal for the most part. It's 1 year. There's some guaranteed, but it's only a one-year deal. I thought that was kind of an obvious one that we missed and all of the callers missed.
Matt Gay last year, perfect from everything inside of 50 yards.
But he missed almost everything outside 50,
outside
right?
of 50 yards, he was 3 of 9.
3 of 9, okay.
So, not great.
Yeah. You know what? He made every other kick. You're right. So he ended up being, his 83.8% field goal percentage was the third worst of his career. The year before that, he had missed 8 kicks, 5 of which had come. This dude, I just pulled up his, he has not missed a kick. Oh, I'm sorry. He's missed 1 kick inside 40 yards since 2020. And he's only missed, it would appear, 4 kicks from less than 50 yards since 2019. Maybe he doesn't have as much to prove. Maybe it's just the kicker thing. He wanted, I don't know. Did the Colts have another kicker option? I don't know about the Colts kicking roster.
Yeah, I'm not. Let me pull up their depth chart. Kicker for them is, place kicker Spencer Schrader, which I've never heard that name before in my life.
Didn't they draft him?
He's in his second year.
Is he the kid, he kicked at BC? No.
No, he kicked at Notre Dame.
Notre Dame. Was he drafted or was he undrafted?
He's bounced around to multiple teams, it seems. I see the Colts, the Jets, and the Chiefs all on his stat sheet. Mm-hmm. And he's in a Chiefs jersey in his picture. So he's kind of bounced around.
Yeah, he kicked for Butker when Butker was hurt.
Okay. So yeah, he went to 3 different teams in 2024. So a little bit of a journeyman.
Okay. The other, what do you got? So I thought that was a good one from Ben, and that was not, I don't think it was mentioned by any of our callers on Friday. The other, what do you got I have is, so I pretty much totaled quarterback. You know, season 2 years ago, they did wide receiver last year, Netflix, the quarterbacks, Joe Burrow, Jared Goff, and Kirk Cousins again. We did mention Jared Goff's wife, who seems to be the number one trending topic from that show, since that show debuted last week at some point.
As she should be.
Yeah, and she certainly deserves that. So I think the most interesting of the three, and you said to me, Burrow's a bit of a weirdo, right, last week?
Yeah, you mentioned that a friend had told
that
you
people
that
were
he,
saying that about.
Yes,
and I asked you. Yeah,
and kind of. I was only through 2 episodes, so I couldn't really fully speak on it at the time. And then we got to Christmas, and he bought all of his offensive linemen katanas,
samurai swords.
Yes, samurai swords. So, and then we found out he's a big fossils guy. So Joe Burrow strikes me as like he's got that. He will never let his inner 10-year-old die. Which I love.
So, I would say this. I would say he was by far and away the most interesting of the three.
Oh, absolutely. Especially his house getting broken into and all that.
Well, yeah, that whole thing
was really
unfortunate. Yeah. He is, I think, sneaky smart.
Oh, yeah.
Like, obviously, he's football smart. Clearly, you know. And by the way, he's great. He's so good. And we're going to get to these quarterback rankings thing, the list here in a second. And the controversy is not over Jaden. The controversy actually is over something else that happens in the top four, and I'll get to that in a moment. But I think he's sneaky smart. I think he is interesting. I think he is eclectic. I think there's like this very broad part of his whole being. He, like you said, he's got a lot of different interests. He, in some of the very short conversations you pick up on, he's like, he'll mention things and he'll reference things. I'm not saying like his, like he's got some sort of encyclopedic, you know, ability. Like he, you know, he can go. I think he's sneaky smart and sneaky interesting. I really do. I found him to be by far and away the best part of the show. 2 years ago, it was Cousins, because I don't think people really knew how high quality a person he was, how tough he was, how smart he was. Wholesome, for sure. Religious, wholesome. He and his wife, Julie, we obviously got to know him here, you know, before he went to Minnesota. And how beloved he is. And by the way, that is really... We talked about this when it happened. When Atlanta went back to Minnesota and played the Vikings, at the end of that game, literally there was a 10-minute line of former Vikings Vikings players and Vikings coaching staff, Vikings, you know, employees that lined up to give Kirk a hug and say thank you. And they had that as part of the quarterback thing. It's pretty... You want to see, you know, what someone's peers think about him, watch that for 5 minutes and tell me that you don't think Kirk Cousins is a high quality teammate, high quality person, and beloved by his teammates. But that was not Burrow by far and away, to me, was the most interesting in this show. I think it's worth it just to watch the Cincinnati stuff. And it also just is a reminder of just how bad that defense was. That defense was so terrible. For them to only win 9 games, and they should have won 10. They should have won the Baltimore game when Lamar fumbled in overtime. You know, they missed the field goal, but they played too conservatively in that overtime. That was the game that they lost earlier in the year. They lost when they went for 2 against Baltimore. That game was in M&T Bank. But the game they lost early in the year to the Ravens in overtime, 41-38, they had it in field goal range after Lamar fumbled, and they ran it 3 times and kicked a 53-yarder instead of attacking and getting it closer. And they could have. I mean, that defense was horrific. I mean, every game they lost, with the exception of the Philly game they were in, Philly pounded them. Every other loss, 1 point at Arrowhead, the loss to Washington, obviously, on Monday Night Football, the Baltimore overtime loss that I just referenced, the Baltimore 1 point loss when they went for 2 in the win, the 7 point loss against the Chargers, the 6 point loss against the Steelers when they really needed it. If they had gotten into the postseason last year, they could have done damage, but they weren't good enough defensively, and they didn't deserve it. And the truth is, even if they had gotten in and snuck in backdoor style after winning their last 5 games to go 9-8, they probably would have given up too many points against somebody, you know, long before the Super Bowl. But, you know, the Burrow example, you know, especially when you have Higgins and Chase, my God, I mean, there's not a better wide receiver situation in the league than those two. I guess you could say Jefferson and Addison, but it's Chase and Higgins. And so he benefits from that. There's no doubt he benefits from that, but he's so good. And they have to get Trey Hendrickson back. Have to. And it goes to show you that when you do have one of those transcendent elite level quarterbacks, even if your defense is terrible, there's still a pretty good chance you're going to win more games than lose and have a chance for the postseason. And they had a chance for it. They went to the final Sunday after winning on Saturday night in week 18, beating the Steelers, and they needed a couple of things to happen that didn't happen. I don't know. Burrow, to me, by far and away, was the star of this quarterback thing, other than Jared Goff's wife. Jared Goff, there's some really good skin stuff in here too, because all 3 quarterbacks played Washington last year. Joe Burrow in week 3 on Monday Night Football, he says something about Jaden, who, you know, is an LSU Heisman Trophy winner as well, like him. And then they played Atlanta late in the year. Remember, that was right after Kirk got benched. Penix had started 1 game against the Giants, but this was his first road game. And then, of course, the playoff game. And there's a lot. That's almost worth it. That's episode That's the last episode, right?
No, I think that's the finale episode.
Is it the finale?
Yes.
Or is it the off-season that's the finale?
No, it's the finale, because I was waiting the entire series for us to get to this very specific moment. And, it delivered. One thing I did notice about the quarterback series, Jaden is the most featured quarterback not on the show. So, I'm just Windy Fingers. I'm
next year.
Yes, I'm prognosticating either next year or the year after Jaden might be in the mix.
I hope he isn't.
I
don't want him involved in this stuff. I don't want any distractions.
Agreed.
Cousins said after that first year, and Mahomes did, Mariota was one of the quarterbacks the first year, so he'd be able to advise Jaden on it.
Nobody
said it was a distraction, but I don't know. A young quarterback in year two, I'd rather he just focus on this and not have to worry about playing to the cameras, because they do play to the cameras, especially in their personal lives. You can tell that some of those conversations between husband and wife, or, you know, coach and player, they're a little bit, you know, I don't think it's completely genuine. I think there's a little bit of acting there. But, Jaden was the most discussed quarterback on the show because all three quarterbacks' teams played him. And, you know, and all three of those quarterbacks' teams lost to Washington because of Jaden. Because of his greatness. I mean, think about it. You could put the Cincinnati game, the Atlanta game, and the Detroit game on the list of three of the top five games he played during the course of the season. Easily. Along with the Philadelphia win where they overcame the turnovers. I think the Giant win on the road was sensational. The game against Chicago was not as, you know, was a good game, but they, let's not forget, it was 15-12. They were losing when he threw the Hail Mary. It's definitely worth the watch. Netflix does a great job with it. Really good job. And yeah, the Detroit playoff game, they were fired up for that game. That place was nuts. And, you know, his wife is literally in tears at the end of the game, as is the entire, I think, Jared Goff suite of people, which was kind of interesting and fun to watch. All right, let's get to this quarterback list. We will do that after this. You're listening to the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
All right, here's what's trending on July 14th in the NFL. 49ers receiver Jerwan Jennings is demanding a new contract with the team. Otherwise, he has requested a trade. Jennings is coming off a career year totaling 77 receptions with 975 yards. 1 year removed from the Brandon Ayuk drama, the Niners have found themselves back at the negotiating table. And Wimbledon wrapped up over the weekend. Yannick Sinner foils Carlos Alcaraz's attempt at a three-peat and wins Wimbledon for the first time in his career. And Iga Swiatek wins the women's bracket over Amanda Anisimova in a straight set thrashing on Saturday morning. And the Nats, they draft Eli Willett's number one overall in the MLB draft last night. Some other notable picks. Cade Anderson goes number three to Seattle, and Jackson Holliday number four to the Colorado Rockies. The Wizards, they picked up a win in the Summer League last night, 102-96 over the Brooklyn Nets. Alex Saar notched 8 total blocks, and Drew Timmy took over for the Nets with 30 points. And tonight, the Home Run Derby. Ronald Acuna is out due to an injury. Matt Olson will be his replacement. James Wood looks to become the first Washington National to win the Home Run Derby since Juan Soto did it in 2022. This update is sponsored by the Team 980's YouTube page. Just open the app, type in the Team 980, hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live from 10 to 1 and Craig Hoffman from 4 to 7. Don't forget to like the streams and turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports. And that is what's trending.
It was hot this weekend, humid this weekend. It's going to continue. If your home is uncomfortable when you're in it and the air condition is on full blast 24/7, it's probably high time that you replace your old windows. And right now, Window Nation is offering their best offer of the year. Get 50% off all window styles. No interest paid until the year 2030. 5 years of 0% interest. They'll get the job done in one day. They'll leave your home looking nicer than when they entered it. The actual estimate free in-home will take an hour or less. It's convenient all the way around. They've got the best product. product. They handle you, the customer, in a way in which you deserve to be handled. They are number one in customer service. They've got over 40,000 five-star reviews. Call them at 866-90-NATION or head to windownation.com to get your free quote now. Again, 50% off on all window styles, and you don't pay any interest for 5 full years. If you are running that air conditioning 24/7, your windows are too old and they're not insulated nearly as good as they should be. Please call Window Nation and just give them a shot. 866-90-NATION, windownation.com. So ESPN is in the midst of doing this thing that they do. I mean, they've done this for 5 or 6 years, I believe, where they poll top coaches, front office execs, and scouts, and ask them to rank their top 10 based on position groups. They've done running backs already. They've done D tackles, edge rushers, safeties, tight ends, interior offensive linemen, tackles, and today, quarterbacks. They still have off-ball linebackers, so non-edge players, wide receivers, and corners to go this week. So we'll see what the wide receiver list produces on, I think it's Wednesday, they come out with the wide receivers. So far on the list, Washington has had Laremy Tunsil on the list. He was seventh among offensive tackles. Sam Cosmi was also receiving votes. I think Brian Robinson Jr. got also receiving votes. But typically what they do is a top 10, then they do 5 players of honorable mention, and then there are a bunch of players that, you know, got votes. So the quarterback list came out today. And they ranked him top 10. Then they have, after their top 10, they have, actually, honorable mention, they only have 2 quarterbacks. And then they have several that got also receiving votes. So this is, again, like we did this, and we've done this a few times, obviously, in the offseason. But this is not, you know, a Pete Prisco list or, you know, an analyst on Fox Sports. This is, you know, ESPN polling people in the league, coaches, scouts, front office execs, asking them to vote the top 10 players at the position in order. And then they gather all of the data and they put together the final list. So number one on the list of quarterbacks in the NFL, Patrick Mahomes. They write, Mahomes' grip on the top spot is loosening slightly after dominating the voting with back-to-back number one rankings in convincing fashion. Mahomes garnered around 60% of the first-place votes this year, which is still impressive but well short of last year when he received all but one first-place vote. You know, we know why. It hasn't been as impressive offensively. The team around him hasn't been as impressive. He finished 8th in QBR the past 2 years from he has finished 8th in QBR the past 2 years. From 2018 through 2022, he finished 1st or 2nd 4 times. And they write, rarely does Mahomes look as frazzled as he did versus Philadelphia in the Super Bowl. Yeah, I mean, that was a dominating performance, and Mahomes and the Chiefs didn't cross half field, midfield, on their first 9 drives. Number one, though, is Mahomes. Number two is Josh Allen. Allen's standing in our top 10 series has been a journey and a point of contention in Buffalo since the series started in 2020. Allen's place in the quarterback pantheon has been universally celebrated among voters inside the league and highlighted in this piece annually. He became, though, unquestionably a top-shelf quarterback in the league this past season when he won the MVP. Yeah, Josh Allen at number two. Let me just tell you, so far, I'm fine with this list. I would still have Mahomes one, and I would have Josh Allen two. Then comes the first debate here. Who's three? Well, on this list, front office execs, coaches, and scouts say that Joe Burrow is the third best quarterback in the league, ahead of Lamar Jackson. This is the first area of controversy. But I'm going to tell you right now, I agree with this. I think I would go Burrow 3 and Jackson 4. And I love Lamar Jackson, and he got so much better. Here's what's written, or at least some of it, that's written about Joe Burrow. And let me give you a couple of quotes from an AFC scout, a veteran AFC scout. Quote, if we're talking about playing the quarterback position, nobody is playing it better than him, Burrow. Footwork, ball placement, the mental game at the line of scrimmage, feel for the pocket, eye level, finding creases to step up and throw. He's the best right now, and he's more mobile than he gets credit for. Another AFC executive did say, I get the guy has two elite wideouts, but their run game was average and the offensive line was not very good either. On top of all of that, their defense was porous and he kept them in every single game for the most part. I thought it may have been his best year, but it didn't get the same pub because of the other high-profile teams. Obviously, Baltimore and Buffalo, the 1-2 in the MVP voting was Allen Jackson, and both of those teams were much better teams than the Bengals were last year. But they've got Burrow 3 on this list, and then comes Lamar at 4. What's written here is Jackson is the most breathtaking player in the game. He might be the most feared, too, depending on whom you ask. And he was close to winning a third MVP last season. In fact, beating out the actual MVP, Allen, for first-team All-Pro status in an unusual split of those honors. You know what? I had forgotten about that. Jackson was named first-team All-Pro. Josh Allen, second-team All-Pro, and Josh Allen was the MVP. One more MVP for Lamar Jackson puts him on the short list of Manning, Rodgers, Brady, Favre, Brown, and Unitas. All right, so those are the quarterbacks that have won three or more. What Jackson did last year still puts him in his own class. He became the first player in NFL history with 40 passing touchdowns and four or fewer interceptions in a season. Here's some of the quotes from people in the league. This is a defensive coordinator. Best space runner in the NFL, and he's such a good passer now. He probably doesn't get enough credit for how he's improved there. Last year, there was so much improvement with him as a passer. A veteran NFL personnel person said, quote, I think he had to grow up as a passer. He was always more athletic than everyone else, so why not run? But he had to stay in the pocket a little bit more to prolong his career, and he's doing that increasingly well. Jackson, 4th on the list. So, who's 5th? Our guy, Jaden Daniels, 5th. Voted on by coaches, scouts, front office execs. When we had this conversation a few weeks ago, some of you were right with me when I put him no worse than 5th. I just can't find a quarterback after those first 4 that I think teams wouldn't swap with our guy. It's just impossible for me to think that even a guy like Justin Herbert, that they wouldn't swap Herbert for Daniels, given Daniels' clutch gene, something that Herbert doesn't really seem to have at this point. Jaden Daniels came in 5th. Here's what's written. I'm going to read the whole thing. Daniels' phenomenal rookie season demanded an appearance somewhere in the top 10. That he pushed his way into the top 5, narrowly outdistancing Stafford. Stafford was 6th in the voting. Shows voters have no problem validating his hype. Last season, Daniels posted the fourth highest QBR in the NFL, the best mark for a rookie since Dak Prescott in 2016. But he was even better on 3rd and 4th downs, recording a league-leading 95.3 QBR on those downs. This from an NFL coordinator who prepared for Daniels last year. Quote, single-handedly, he took one of the worst franchises to the NFC title game as a rookie with a bad defense, one legitimate wide receiver, a dinosaur at tight end. That's a bit of a shot at Zach Ertz, and an average at best offensive lineman. The kid can read coverages, throw with accuracy, accuracy, and touch to all levels of the field, just as dangerous as Lamar and Josh Allen with his legs, and has a clutch factor to him because his team already believes that if he has the ball with a chance to win, he's going to find a way. If he repeats anything close to his rookie year, he's no lower than number three on this list next year. I mean, that's where we talked about, like, Burrow and, you know, Lamar, because of their injuries, you know, could you put them ahead of those guys? Not yet. Five is the right spot. Here's another quote in this. Let me read a little bit more from the ESPN guys. Daniels was a true dual threat in his rookie year, ranking second in the NFL in yards per rush and first in scramble yards. Sometimes the year one hype can be tough to replicate. C.J. Stroud landed at number seven last season on this list and struggled at times in year two. Though he has shown enough to convince Houston, he's clearly the long-term answer. Some around the league are at least asking the question of whether Daniels' play will taper off a bit as defenses adjust to both him and Washington's offense. The consensus is Daniels has too much going for him. Here's a quote from an NFC coordinator. Quote, won 12 games with a mediocre at best defense and just a decent offensive roster around him. System he plays in requires him to play off schedule and make plays with his feet on a regular basis for success. And he is yet still solid in the pocket. Close quote. Yeah, I like that first quote from an NFL coordinator who prepared for him last year. Single-handedly took one of the worst franchises to the NFC title game as a rookie with a bad defense, one legitimate wide receiver, a dinosaur at tight end, and an average at best O-line. He did it all last year. There just wasn't anything that you could look at and say, well, that's a weakness. He's got to get better at that. And, you know, a guy like Lamar, a guy like Josh Allen early in his career, there was a lot to point to say, yeah, but not with him. There's no but. The but is what it was last year. He's somewhat thin, somewhat wiry. He'll take some shots that he probably shouldn't take, although he got better than that. He got hurt a little bit here and there in college. He missed, you know, the majority of a game last year, almost missed the next game, but didn't. That's the thing that, if anything, you worry about. All right, 301-230. Bobby Blanco from Masson. We'll talk Nats draft at 1140. Phone lines are open now, 301-230-0980. The rest of the list I'll give you after Jaden. But are you in agreement that Jaden is number five on the best quarterbacks in the league on that list? Is number five right, or is it too high? Other than Billy and Chantilly, I would assume most of you don't think he should be any higher than five. After one season, I don't. I mean, I think next year, as that one scout said or one coordinator said, that if he repeats anything close to his rookie year, he's no lower than number three on this list next year. I totally agree with that. And I think he would probably be ahead of maybe Burrow and Jackson as a possibility. There are other quarterbacks that could be coming this year. I'll give you the rest of the list. Phone lines are open, 301-230-0980. Is number five on the list of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, voted on by coaches, scouts, front office execs. Is it too high, or is it just right? 301-230-0980. And if you want to weigh in on Burrow ahead of Jackson, that seems to be a big controversy in the follow-up conversation on this list. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, the team980.com. You can watch us, stream us on the team980.com, and you can watch us on our YouTube channel, the Team 980's YouTube channel. Subscribe to it when you get there, and also like it.